Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Right, let's do this. Hello. Hi, everybody. How are we? Christmas is in full flow in our house. I try and resist doing it all too early, but I went and got the tree today. Now, something I quite like to do as a family, but that wasn't an option this year. So I went on my own. And little tip for you listeners. So I went and got a tree, and then I wanted to like chop up. I wanted bits of foliage. Is that the word? Bits of Christmas tree foliage that you dot around the house. You know, I like to put it on a mantelpiece. Sometimes I like to put it down the middle of a table, depending where the Christmas feeling takes me. But they sell that stuff and it's really expensive. And can I just say, when you get a Christmas tree, here's my tip. You don't need half the amount that's in the tree, if you're getting a real one, by the way. You can just chop a few branches off and use that. So that's what I'm going to do. I found a very lovely specimen. It's the same height as me, 6'1" with a wind behind me. And I'm going to decorate it. I'm going to go loads and loads of lights. And then what I've been doing, which I think is really lovely, is William and I, my husband, we buy a new decoration each year so that we sort of have them throughout our life. And we've been together 10 years. So there's 10 decorations that are from our little history. And we always remember where we got that one from, where we got that one from. And yeah, it's really lovely. Also, a really nice thing, if you have godchildren, and if you've got lots of them, which all of us queers tend to, don't we, is a nice thing to give them a Christmas decoration, should they be people who celebrate Christmas, which is quite nice as well, because first things first, it's cheap. Now, today I'm talking with the author, illustrator, activist and podcaster Florence Given, face to face no less. What Florence has done is nothing short of extraordinary. She's got millions of followers on Instagram, and she really is about queer liberation in many ways. She's about getting rid of shame, and she talks in this really playful, very fun, very kind of immediate way about really, really serious stuff. And I followed her for a long time, and I really like her stuff. I read her book, Women Don't Owe You Pretty. I really loved the ideas in there, and I think it's actually really interesting even now, looking back at that book, is a lot of the ideas in that book are out in the public realm, but when she wrote it, they weren't. Really, really interesting ideas around, you know, even that concept of women don't owe you pretty. You don't have to be pretty and work and live for the male gaze. You know, that applies beyond identifying as a woman. I think that queer people absolutely have our own version of living within the male gaze. And Florence Floss, keep calling her Florence, as we say in the interview, but Floss, she likes to be called Floss. She is queer herself, and the sort of nuances around that are great, and sort of encouraging her female following to, you know, embrace, kiss girls and be nice to each other is sort of one of her things. And yeah, I'm a fan. So we had a good old chat. We talked about all sorts of things. The complications around social media, we talk about her story of growing up, you know, which is something I haven't really heard. And it's really, really interesting. And what it is that motivates her, what it is that makes her keep doing what she does. Very cool chat. So that's coming up. Have you, in the meantime, have you caught up with last week's episode with Char LS? If not, now's the time. Well, not now. Listen to this and then do that. Keep emailing us at hello@homosapienspodcast.com or on Instagram @homosapiens. Tell us what you've thought of the episodes, or send any holiday season anonymous agony uncles to be answered, people. You can get in touch with us. That's on Instagram as well, @homosapiens. Now, let's have a look at emails and messages. Oh, we got a lovely message about last week's episode with Shah. From Jack, loved this. Shaving your head is the most liberating way of beginning yourself from a blank page. First did it when I was 16 and truly owned myself. Good on you, Jack. Now, I've never shaved my head, and I sort of don't think I've got enough hair left. I think it would just look a bit patchy. But then again, if you're losing your hair, you do shave your head. So what am I talking about? We also got an email from someone. I won't leave the name on because I'm not certain about anonymity stuff. Dear Chris, I won't wax on about how much I love the podcast and how it has been the background music that has held together the somewhat turbulent plot of my late emergence into the glorious queer life. Ah, this is wonderful. Homo sapiens was a secret guilty pleasure in the last months of my marriage and being in the closet. Ooh. Yes, I am, in the words of Kathy Bates, your number one fan. Well, this is wonderful. Hello, number one fan. I am a happy out gay man who didn't come out until he was over 50. Ah, interesting. There are so many closeted men who might feel, what's the point? I'm older now. Can I say, 50 is not too late to be doing anything, and all power to anyone like you who's doing stuff, because Gary Vaynerchuk, Instagram entrepreneur, is so interesting about age. People have a problem with Gary Vaynerchuk a bit, but I actually think the way he talks about age is amazing. Look him up. He's Gary V on Instagram. He's not gay. At time of print. Anyway, back to the email. Well, it's not all about sex, but OMG, what a journey I've had. I may have missed out on a gay youth, but to my surprise, I've been making up for it by rocking the Silver Fox vibes that I never knew I had. I was raised in a homophobic cult as a Jehovah's Witness. I'm not angry about it. I've come to find gratitude. Wow. Had I escaped to London in the 80s at 16, I packed that little black case 1,000 times. Stood alone on the platform in North Wales, but wasn't brave enough to get on that train to London. Wow, what an image. I most likely would have ended up a victim of AIDS pandemic like Colin in It's a Sin, who I shed buckets loads of tears to. So I am alive, but there is no excuse for the trauma I experienced as a gay boy in a religion that taught me that I was an aberration. Really interesting. And you are not an aberration. You are quite the opposite. You're a celebration. From where I'm standing? This affects thousands of individuals who cannot come out because they will be shunned and ostracised by their friends and family. Also, it's not just Jehovah's Witness, it's many other smaller cults too. I live in rural North Wales, where I'm almost the only gay in the village, yet I have found a way to have a connected queer life with an amazing queer support network. This is amazing! Amazingly, I also found a partner and we enjoy rural queerness. Ah, that is so lovely to hear. Thank you so much for that email. Can I just request a photo of your rural queerness? That's what I want. I want to see a lovely picture of queer rural life. Please do send hello@homosapienspodcast.com. Anybody else as well, send us your pictures of your queer rural lives should you live rurally. Is that a word? Now, after that uplifting and beautiful email, let's go and have an uplifting and wonderful conversation with Florence Given. Here it is, people.
Just get a quick level on... Both just say something.
Hello.
Is it me you're looking for? We had to go Lionel Richie. Could have been, hello, it's me.
Yeah, I was going to say Adele.
Yeah.
Or Taylor Swift's new song.
Do you call yourself Floss all the time? Can I call you Floss?
Yes, you can call me Floss. Yeah, anyone calls me Florence, it sounds like my mum telling me off.
Florence.
Florence!
Got it. So, are you a Swiftie?
I don't listen to her music, but it's not because I'm against it. It's also a bit like, and people are going to kill me for this, David Bowie.
Right.
So I know I will be so obsessed with his entire discography, but...
Should I wish to listen?
But because an ex of mine was so obsessed with him, it's just got this little tinge to it where I can't delve.
Right.
And it's almost too overwhelming.
Really?
Yeah, and I feel like that about Taylor Swift as well. So, I feel like if I delve, I'll get lost. But and I won't come back.
What do we think about... Because... So I was having a conversation with someone about Harry Styles over the weekend.
Okay.
And they were like, oh, you know, this was someone's take. And it's not one I agree with, as I stated in the conversation. But, you know, it's just using queer things to furnish himself in a way that is blah, blah. And then people say similar to Taylor Swift. It's like, to seem more interesting.
Oh, right, yeah.
But... Is that actually, have you ever been in a room where someone said that's a good idea? Because I haven't.
Have I ever been in a room where someone has said that using queer things is a way to be interesting?
Yeah, as in like, let's do this. Not like,
No. And I don't think that even if it was a thing, I don't think it would be outwardly said. I think it would be a lot more covert anyway. I don't think anyone would outwardly say, let's pretend to be gay, because that's what's trending right now. Yes. I feel like it would be some kind of... I'll tell you what I do think there is a trend of. I think Harry Styles is sick. I like his style. I like his fashion. I think that he gets a bad rap in that kind of space because there are so many people who are outwardly queer. I've got gay friends who dress so femininely they can't even get the tube because they're uncomfortable getting the tube. So I think if you're someone who is gay and is outwardly gay and has risked a lot for your sexuality, then I understand how people would see someone who isn't out getting praise for queer aesthetics, whatever. But this is just the way the guy likes to dress.
Yeah.
So we can't, you know, and I don't know. I don't really have an opinion on it. I can see all sides. Yes. I just think it's interesting. And there is a critique of it, like, oh, of course, the white guy who was so handsome and straight passing, whatever people want to call him, getting away with the stuff that out gay men can't even get on the tube for, wearing dresses, and he can be on the cover of Vogue, whatever. Yes. But I think this is just the way the guy likes to dress. Like, do we want him to wear suits now? And then we're going to tell him to just dress like a man? Because I don't get it. I don't think Taylor Swift is queer baiting. I think a lot of queer people just want to see representation. And sometimes we project that where either there isn't some or we're just grasping for it.
Yes.
And that's not a bad thing. Like, I would watch movies where there was no lesbian couples, there was no sapphic plotline, but two women touching hands a little bit. I'm like sweating, you know?
Really?
I'm like, oh my God, are they going to kiss? And then there was never any follow through with it.
Right.
So, I think a lot of the times queer people are maybe just kind of like grasping for that representation, and it's just fun.
Yes,
it's just fun.
It is. Who were your sexual awakenings in cinema in that respect? I always talk about how Tom Cruise and Elizabeth Shue were a joint venture for me.
I don't think I had any. Billy Piper and Doctor Who.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Like, I had dreams about Billy Piper and Doctor Who.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, oh, I don't have anyone. No, absolutely. I had sex dreams about Billy Piper and Doctor Who. I was like ridden with guilt about it when I went to school. I told a friend because she also told me that she thought she was hot.
Right.
And I felt like I could really confide in her and open up about my sex dream about Billy Piper. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was when she was Christopher Eccleston's sidekick in Doctor Who. I was so obsessed with her. Yeah, but in a way that I didn't know was sexual, you know? I was like, oh, yeah, all the girlies are having sex dreams about Billy Piper.
Yes.
It's just a very straight thing to do.
A crush.
Yeah.
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 And do you ever remember any... Because, let's say, gay men had Queer as Folk, like, and we could absorb it, and it was this thing for us that meant... But what was that for queer women?
The L word?
Yes.
Do you know the L word?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I watched it when I think it was like made in the 90s. So it wasn't even like when I was born in 98. So it wasn't even something that came out while I was exploring my queerness. It was something I just found on Netflix and stumbled upon and would slam the laptop shut anytime my mum walked in the room. And I shared a Netflix account with my friend who is straight in primary school.
Oh.
And she would see like, what's the L word? I'm like, oh, you know, like love, like the L word, love. That's what it means. So I was like, yeah, it's just about these lesbians in LA. It's just so weird.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And I was just obsessed with it. I'd never seen this like little feminist lesbian utopia where virtually no men existed on the show unless they were using them for IVF, like to have a baby.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was so insane for me to see this little community of women where... Like, men weren't a built-in part of their life. Mm. And I'd never seen that before at all.
And how old were you when you were watching that then?
Probably 14.
So amazing.
Yeah, really amazing. But I think, you know, it's a bit like Sex and the City. Like, when you look back and you go, oh, God, there was so much wrong with that show. And they recently updated it. And then what happens is when you kind of swing the dial of, like, what's morally correct and what's morally wrong, a lot of people overcompensate.
Right.
So you're seeing, like, a lot of this... over trying to include absolutely everything to the point where it's like I wouldn't even know how to describe it, a bit on the nose sometimes, like with the representation, but you see it in Sex and the City as well.
The new Sex and the City.
Yeah. I watched one episode on the way to Tokyo recently. It was like an in-flight thing. And I'd seen lots of people talking about it online. I don't actually watch that much TV. I've only just got a TV.
Oh, wow.
And Yeah, so I watched it on the in-flight, but I saw it and I was like, okay, I can see what people are saying. Yes. They're making an effort and it's going to be really important for the new generation. And also I think there's sometimes you can feel the effort sometimes of people and it's like, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. Also, what I love is that human beings are messy. We can't pretend and make and create cinema and TV series where everyone is so fucking woke because that's not the real world. We're only just learning all of this new stuff about pronouns and sexuality and race and gender. And I say we're only just learning this, I mean like the dominant culture, you know, it's like black people, trans people have been talking about this for so long, queer people have been talking about this for so long, but it's only now just reaching the dominant culture because of social media. It's just democratizing people's voices. Like, you can have a platform, you can have a platform, and you don't have to like know someone in the industry. You can create your own fucking industry on Instagram or TikTok. So I think that we're hearing more of these voices now. And then what's happening is that dominant culture, news outlets, whatever, are kind of thinking, okay, we need to get hold of this. And they're doing it in a way that's almost too perfect. And I think that we still need to include the fact that human beings are messy and going to make fucking mistakes.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
But do you also think that it's a situation with, we've got these huge institutions of entertainment like Sex and the City is one that we're talking about at the moment, and then they're trying to be bent to modern times. But the truth is, it shouldn't be about for white women. So you can't have your cake and eat it. You can't try and like make these four white women, or it's only three now, like have suddenly loads of queer black friends and like, and it's like you can feel the grind, which is actually like, maybe make a show that is about queer black people's experiences, and then it won't have this kind of Miranda having to keep saying chunks of paragraphs of why she is woke now and all of that stuff. And it's like, that's the thing, people watch things, I think, I'm no expert, but like because of the characters and what they're going through, and you can't just have like white characters talking about this stuff. They have people need to be going through it, and I think that's the mistake that I felt was clear on screen with Sex and the City.
Yeah, I just have a lot more, even when you're talking about the Harry Styles thing or Taylor Swift or Sex and the City or the L Word, I just have a lot more tolerance for human error and human mistakes in a way that I 2 or 3 years ago probably wouldn't have. Like when I was coming into my feminist journey, I was such a pain in the ass to be around. I was, because again, you swing the other, you overcompensate, right? Yeah. I've spent my whole entire life not realizing, I say my whole entire life, I was 18 years old and I was going out to nightclubs for the first time and I was experiencing sexual harassment, sexual assault from men, but not calling it that. And a lot of the girls around me would just kind of accept that men would grope your bum and that men would do this and that men would do that. And I was the only one that felt this outrage. And I was like, what? This is normal. We're all just supposed to accept this. And they were like, Floss, that's just how it is. And I felt crazy for being the only one. I was like looking for someone to just kind of validate that this isn't cool. So I took to the internet to talk about it, as one does, and I started putting it into my artwork, started putting my message out there. And because of all of this sudden realization about, I'm looking back at past experiences with ex-boyfriends, with random men on the street, with men in bars, and I'm going, oh my God, this whole time where I've politely just kind of stayed quiet and not said anything or not advocated for myself, it builds this rage in you that wants to, you want to come back tenfold. It's a bit like when people who've been people pleasing their whole lives learn about boundaries. Yes. It's like suddenly they're not boundaries, there's walls. Yes. You know, and it's like you overcompensate for the lack of.
Yes.
And I feel like that's what a lot of dominant culture's doing. So anyway, I was a, you know, my dad, I just wouldn't even let him have an opinion on anything because I was like, you're a man, you can't say anything. I was just so annoying at the dinner table, you know. And my dad is so fucking wise, like I listen to that man's advice all the time now. But that's just an example of how I definitely overcompensated with my new understanding of the world and the systems that I was born into, the systems of oppression that I perpetuate, being in my body as a white person, all of this stuff. It's like I just went so hard on it. And I would have had a lot less tolerance, I think, for human error back then because I was acknowledging it in myself and that was quite uncomfortable. And yes. I think that we saw it after Black Lives Matter. It was like all white people were doing on social media was just like finger pointing at anyone who's doing anything. You aren't posting today, you're posting today. And it was all of this. We were all watching each other. It was like surveillance.
Yes.
And I think we need that. And then we've got to come back to the middle where we go, okay, there's a middle point here where we can talk about sexism, racism, transphobia, homophobia in a way that is going to benefit change as opposed to some kind of instant reward or shaming or something like you see on these programs where they're like, okay, we need to correct every single error that Sex and the City made in this one new series, as opposed to showing a natural progression of how people actually work, which is messy. Human beings are messy. I remember when I was first learning about pronouns a few years ago, just even getting it used to being in your vocabulary with the English language and you changing that around in your mouth even. It's a process, and then you learn it and then it's fine and then you can teach other people. And I think I used to have a pattern of learning something new and then being like, how can you still do this? You're not using they them pronouns, that's so disrespectful, when I literally learned about them a month ago, you know? And it's just like righteousness that we get about it.
It's almost like you're trying to, because I've definitely done the same.
Yeah.
You're trying to distance yourself from an old version of yourself by pointing out in others.
Yeah,
but then you 2.0 is the one who's like, oh no, I was that, but now I'm this.
And yes.
I only learned because someone was compassionate to me.
Yeah.
And therefore I need to be compassionate to others.
And I also think it's like, it's, I don't want to get too, it's also like a privilege I have that if I'm feeling this way about tolerance, there are certain things I just don't have tolerance for at all because for some reason it triggers something in me and I need to like take a breather before I talk about it, you know? And it's usually stuff to do with sexual assault, rape, sexual violence, all that kind of stuff. But I feel like I'm in a position where I've been in that rageful state and I can very easily go back there again depending on what's happening or whatever's, you know, it's not linear based. So I can very easily go back to that place. But, for example, with talking about race, with my family, with my friends, with the people I've known for a very long time, I'm in a position where they will listen to me just because of my proximity to them and also because I'm a white person. So if I have that access to these people, to talk even about trans people, like on the news and in the media, I remember when my parents were seeing it for the first time, it was like, you don't see many trans people in Plymouth where I grew up.
Yeah.
So then you're seeing trans people on the news talking about being non-binary and suddenly it's skewing this view that the older generation have had of, like, it's literally black and white, pink and blue, man, woman. It's this way of thinking. So when someone exists that's like, I feel this way, it wrecks their entire understanding of the world and themselves. And so if you have access to a person like that, which I do, my family and my peers, whatever, then I'm in a very good position to use my time with them to do it slowly and gradually, because if I go in hard at those people, they're just going to double down on their beliefs. It's a bit like when you have a friend that's in a toxic relationship. I've been talking about this on my Instagram recently. If you have a friend that's in a toxic relationship, the last thing that they want to hear is dump him, leave him, stay away from him, he's trash, because then you have two people controlling the woman, two people telling her what to do with her life, and we all want to make our own choices. So if you gently drip feed this information to your relatives or family, they'll come to it on their own. And I think people like to think that they've come to things on their own rather than they were lectured to about something.
Yes, and also on top of that, I think that people don't want to feel like they were wrong. They have been wrong, were wrong.
In front of others.
Yeah. Like, you never want to feel like you've been an asshole.
Yeah.
So if you just gently enlighten... I mean, I love that we're having this conversation now because we are heading into Christmas and we're all going to be talking about Meghan Markle around the dinner table, aren't we? You know, like, those touch paper people who seem to embody really opposing opinions in families and things.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because you say it's about talking about it over a long time, but then Christmas is quite short when you're with all your families. But how can we, educate our families? How can we, in a compassionate way, enlighten people?
I think, again, sometimes it can even be to do with like temperaments. So if you know that you're going to get heated around the family table about abortion rights, particularly in America, with what's going on over there, then maybe don't bring it up. If you know that you are going to start crying the second your dad starts saying, but you need to follow through with this pregnancy, even if this happens. You do not have to put yourself through this like emotionally triggering thing in the name of being the perfect activist and always saying the thing all the time. It's like, you don't need to always do that if it's going to, you're going to be hitting a brick wall with your dad because he doesn't believe in that. So I think it's just checking in with yourself and knowing what's going to be beneficial to like moving the needle forward. And I definitely thought that going as hard as I possibly can at all times was the way to do that, but it's not always the way. I think sometimes what really works is analogies and metaphors with people. Statistics really work well with people, and it's not trying to make people feel stupid. And I learned something not recently, maybe like a year ago on TikTok. This woman was talking about dating ignorant men. So if you're dating a man and you're on a first date and a guy says something a little bit sexist or makes a remark, if you want to teach them, you don't go, "What the fuck was that? What are you saying that for?" You don't, because then they're going to go, "Oh, you're one of those, aren't you? One of those feminists." You've got to be like, "Sorry, did you mean to say that?" You almost give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yes.
You give them the chance to go, "Oh, no, sorry. No, you're right. You go, "Sorry, did you mean to say that? Did you mean, because that's..." And you like give them the benefit of the doubt. Like, "Did that slip out? You didn't mean to." And then you let them reflect. You're basically just like holding the mirror up to them instead of being like, "Shame, shame, shame."
Yes.
And I've definitely used the shame tactic a lot, and it just doesn't work. And there's so much research on it as well. But when you shame people, you just kind of, you make them double down on what they wanted to do. You as the shamer then become the bad guy because you're shaming someone, and then you're just making shame with shame. And not a lot of change is born with shame. You just kind of create this thing for this person where they don't really want to change also. Because again, back to the being wrong, a lot of people are okay with being wrong in private, but being wrong publicly or being wrong in front of someone can be really humiliating. So it's that that reflection that I think helps a lot of people so that they can do it in their own time and then come to their own realization.
Yeah. And
it's a lot gentler.
That generational thing as well, where they feel confused, and that entrenches them more because they're just like, "Well, the world's gone mad," rather than gently trying to sort of illustrate an idea or illustrate a point that is, that is going to be helpful or help them understand. Because you are having those conversations because you want to change. I love that thing of like, "Did you mean to say that?" Because it reminds me of this trick, when a thing to do when someone's really rude to you is you should say to them, if someone's really rude to you, instead of saying, "What did you say?" you say that again. Because it's so unlikely that they're going to
repeat it.
Yeah.
Yes, that's so true.
But it makes them, you didn't have to do anything, but it makes them completely think about what they've said and why. Because most rude things are said
under your
breath or off
the cuff. When was the last time you interacted with someone like that though, Chris? Because it's like, I actually can't remember the last time someone said something outright, unless I'm like in a pub and it's a football night. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's more insidious, isn't it? But like, well, I thought of you on the train here this morning, actually, because there was this guy on the train and he was having a phone call on his...
loudly.
AirPods. So loudly. And he was being such an arrogant... just... do you know that Bob Mortimer sketch where he does like an impression of someone on a train? Being "Hi, yeah, it's Larry. Larry, call you back. Larry, mate."
And like that harsh laughter. Like
And he was like... he literally said the sentence, "Yeah, I'm going to tear strips off him later."
Oh my God. No.
But it's funny. He was the other end of the carriage. So already I'm creating excuses to why I didn't say anything. But I was like, I should just say to him, "Can you shut up?" Not, "Can you shut up? Can you?" And then I was like,
conflict resolution on the train.
Yeah. What would I say? And then I was like, what would Floss say? Because I bet she wouldn't be scared to say something. But would you?
Okay, context. My safety. Mostly as a woman, I'm like, is this guy going to then shout in my face?
Yeah.
And then that's going to be very uncomfortable. I think if the man was sat next to me, I might say, "Sorry, could you just like this?"
Yeah.
And people are very receptive to that. I think you go in with the... heard something recently about when it comes to conflict, going with the most generous assumption of that person.
Yes.
The most generous assumption that they are so unaware that they're being so loud. They are unaware that they're being rude. They are unaware that they're being ignorant.
Yeah.
And again, with the mirror thing, you just go, sorry, can you just...
Mm.
And they go, oh my God, I'm sorry. And then if they're an asshole, then you can escalate and go, no, please, you're interrupting people. And then you can escalate, and then someone sees that you might need help, whatever, and they go, yeah, sorry, I'm meditating on the tube, can you shut up? I don't know. But like, you go in with the most generous assumption, and I think that's where I really like to meet people,
I love
and where
that.
I'm really trying to meet people. Trying being the key word.
No one's perfect, but
can't always fucking do it.
Phase four of my chat with myself
on the train
was, you've got to go in with love and be like, I'm sure you don't realize that you're being annoying. Well, no, I wouldn't use the word annoying,
but like,
as in, you've got to go in with the way you speak to him as if he doesn't know that he's annoying at all.
Mm.
Not that I did anything
about
it. At
the heart of it all, I love people. I really love people.
Do you?
Yes, I love people, and that's why I do what I do. Like, I love talking to people. At the heart of everything I do with my work is bringing people together.
Mm.
Nothing makes me happier. Probably a lot to do with just being in high school. Like, high school was so cliquey.
Mm.
And I remember this feeling of being like, why are we all being mean to each other? Why are there cliques? Why are we isolating girls out when they're not doing something right this week? Why are we doing... And so for me, a lot of my healing work has come through just bringing other women and queer people together at my events or on my page.
Lovely.
And I love people. So even when I hear about that man, I always try to go to like the most compassionate place in my brain. And then people respond really well to it sometimes.
Right. That's the end of part one of Chat with Floss. Part two is on the feed. Go have a listen.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Powered by Spirit Studios.